Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
Holler in the chat, and
If you can hear me, good. All right. Yeah, you know, looks like summer's over. Been kind of old snee in the evenings, you know, but kind of, you know. You know, when you go someplace else and it's warmer and then come back cool, it's kind of shows the difference of how this country is so big, you know. Like I was on one side, I wasn't far away, but over here it was daylight, and where I was, it was nighttime, you know. Anyway, you know, we have lots of things going on all the time, but it seems like the same thing all the time. The main thing is how, you know, our people are affected and how we're treated elsewhere and all the time. And, you know, I was talking to a Lakota girl, I don't know, some while back, a couple weeks back or something. And she was telling me how she don't see no racism. She said she goes wherever and nobody's racist to her. She said she gets along. She says she thinks it's just people, you know, people, Indians don't know how to get along. And you know, like we're we look for trouble all the time, and that's why we can't get along. That we need to learn how to get along with the Washitu, you know. You know, I was just listening because I didn't want to get in an argument with a woman, you know. But it made me think, because, you know, women are treated different than men. Yeah, they're treated way different than men. And especially if a woman is, I'm not saying this woman was no beauty queen or nothing, but I'm just saying she was, you know, like, I knew her for a while, and before, one time she was bragging about being in Sturgis and how good they treat her over there. Of course, those white boys want a schema, Lakota girl. So it's way different than the way we get treated, you know, the men. Men are often discriminated by other cultures, and I see that all the time. I'm a witness to it. I'm a victim of it, you know. One thing I do, the other thing I notice, you know, and is that we, other people, other cultures, you know, they, that don't come around Indians, or they live, you know, in an area away from Indian reservations and Indians, their education on Indians is, we're drunks, we're trash, we're slobs, we're criminals, we're rapists, we're pedophiles. You know, we get a bad rap from even our own kind. And, you know, a lot of that ain't true. I mean, we live in a small community, so if someone gets murdered or killed, we all know about it. It ain't like it happens all the time. It's just, you know, it's close to home, so we might talk about it for 10 years. But it don't mean we always have murders here. And rapes. Yeah, they have rapes going on here. And I'm not defending anybody. But I don't see, you know, yeah, once in a while there's someone hurt, someone got raped. And then there's a lot of times when people are partying, you know, and something happens to them, or like they call it a train or whatever, you know, those are ugly things that happen. And I damn sure wouldn't want my daughter or my women relatives to go through that. I'll defend them. I'll even go to war over them. Point is, we don't have a lot of that. You know, we don't have we have petty stuff going on, you know. People stealing a ranch, people stealing a TV, people busting a window because they don't like somebody, or two guys getting in a fight, or two girls getting in a fight. We've had a murder where some young girls killed another girl. That happened like about 8 years ago or something like that. We have stuff that happens. But the outside world, the education they get is we're like this all the time. We don't get no credit for our sobriety on the reservations. We have a lot of sober people on the reservations. And the thing is, we don't get no credit for our spirituality. I think we're the only people on earth that actually do believe in Wakantanka. Other people, they say it, but they damn sure don't walk it, you know. Anyway, I kind of wanted to mention that because, you know, like I go off on my little trips and take off on road trips or on a mission here and there, and I end up here and there, and I see how I get treated by blacks. You know, I get treated by blacks like I'm lower than they are, like I'm stupid too. And same way with those Arabs. They treat me like crap. And it ain't because I'm a troublemaker. That's just how I get treated. Or when the police stop me. You know, the other morning, you know, I slept in the truck at a truck stop. So I kind of have trouble sleeping in the truck. So in a pickup truck, I'm not talking about a big truck or sleeper. I'm sitting there, and see, I get up at 5, it's dark, you know, so I try to force myself. So I sleep a little bit longer, and I get up and look at my clock. I say, damn, I'm going to try to hit the road. I go in there and I'll grab me some Java. So I grab my coffee cup and stuff, and I open the door and, you know, pick up four-wheel driver kind of off the ground a little bit. And me, I'm not no tall guy, and I'm Chepa and old guy and stuff. So, I mean, that's kind of a drop there. So I open the door and I got to watch the ground. Boom, I hit the ground, and then I look up, and man, there's cops all over the place. Wow, what the hell? I was ready to raise my hands, surrender. Wow, what's going on here? But it was truck stop, and all these cops just happened to show up there, you know, their party, morning coffee party time somewhere. But how, you know, here I just happened to see all this stuff. Damn. And a couple of them cops did look at me because I was probably looking guilty as hell, ready to raise my hands up and stuff, you know. But you see, everybody looks at us like we're up to no good. Seriously. And you see people that are up to no good standing around and nobody pays them no attention. I mean, there's guys the night before standing there, cell phones, some guys homeless or hitchhiking or something, just sleeping out in front of the truck stop, hanging out there, walking around, getting you all paranoid. You know, but for some reason, I always get picked out of a crowd or something. And I know why. It's because I'm not no Mexican, I'm not no Arab, I'm not no Asian, and I damn sure ain't white, and I damn sure, I hate to say that, I'm not pale face, and I ain't no Afro. So what's left? I'm a damn Indian, a savage Indian, you know, long hair, gray hair guy, you know, and I look different. So yeah, this guy, maybe he's parked there because he's drunk, you know, or maybe he stole that truck or maybe he's got something in there, you know, but they're educated that way. You see, it's not their fault. Those Hasapas that were treating me like crap down there and, you know, in the South. I mean, I was at a motel and they give continental breakfast, right? So in the morning, the lady, you know, what are you in town for? You know, all nosy, asking a million questions. Anyway, oh, and by the way, we have breakfast right there, morning 6 to 9, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So in the morning, I said, see, I'll go there. I'll go in and see what they got. I don't like those continental breakfasts either because they're nothing but the best thing you might get is shit on the shingle gravy, you know, with some biscuits, maybe a little thin slices. You know, they don't give you much. Anyway, so I go there in the morning. I said, maybe I'll eat a little something and take a little nap after I eat and go, then get up and head out. So I go down there. And I'll try to make this story fast. So I go down there and look around and go there and hear this house up a lady. She says, how many? Just how many are you? I said, look, one. I mean, look, how many do I look like? I know I'm Chepa, but how many do I look like, you know? So I'm kind of tripping on that. I had to show her that I'm only one, you know. So she takes me to a table and throws a menu down, and I notice there's price lists on there. So I said, oh, I thought this was free. No, what, you think this is free? Where y'all come from? You know? All right. Well, let me get my wallet. So I left. I said, well, one time I'll go ahead and pay for this little woolly poop breakfast. I run up, get my wallet, come back, and I go down there, and I'm going to sit down at the table, and there's a Washichu right next to where she put my menu. So I go sit at another table, right, because I don't sit by this Washichu and whoever else he's with, you know, I didn't pay attention. So I go kind of go sit at another table, and here she comes over and she said, I told you to sit down right here. I put your menu there. Why ain't you sitting there? I told you to sit here. And all the Washichu in that place start staring at me, you know. And, of course, I don't look like, no, I ain't got no silk shirt on and no little hairdo and all of that stuff. So I'm looking pretty damn raggedy. You know how us Lakota look. We don't be looking a good sight in the morning either. Hair running this way and that way, you know. You know. Plus, we got, for some reason, Lakotas have a lot of electricity in our hair. So when we get offended or some kind of disturbed, that electricity just shoots out of our, lightning bolts shoot out of our head and our hair starts waving, you know. So I'm looking at her and everybody's looking at me. So I says, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I just walk out. I just left. I didn't even stay there. And she was hollering while I'm going the other way, you know. But you see, why was that Hasapa lady treat me like that? She wasn't treat. I seen her sitting other while she chewed down. Oh, sir, blah, 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 woo, 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 you know. You know, yeah, 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 you know, and but to me, look at, but you see, I'm telling you the truth here, and I don't know, Tanashi, how you been, and it's good that you're here right now
to back my way.
but you know, we get treated different, don't we? Don't you ever notice it?
Yep.
You know?
Everywhere
like,
I go.
Like, yeah, we get treated like we're a lower level of people than everybody else. The blacks treat us like that. The everybody treats us like that. Then you know, like one time I seen them just throwing food at some Indian lady sitting over there at a table one time at a restaurant. One time they sold a fork at me, you know. But
yeah.
My point is we get treated this way no matter what. And it isn't their fault. It's the education they get from society that Indians are just low life. Now, there are Indians that fit in. The Indians, that BIA Indians, are these tribal Indians that look like the Beach Boys. Yeah, they walk around and strut around in these places, whip out their big fancy cell phones and stuff. But a normal Indian, normal Lakota, gets treated like crap. Anyway, Toshi, before I go further, I'm going to let you, since you haven't been, you know, I know you've been busy and all that, and you know, let you take over and say a little something. Why not?
Oh, we'll say a prayer and before we get started. We had some cash in the auto,
Tanashi, you know, what I wanted to just go a little bit further from where I was at a while ago. You know, I was talking about how we get treated, and like I say, sometimes I say it's not their fault, but look at, here I am. I mean, I don't want to be bragging about all my wisdom, you know, all my gray hair and all that. Here's the old gray-haired guy there and kind of wobbling in there because, you know, I ain't walking straight up like I used to, you know. So don't they see that? Don't they see that? Aren't we considered elderly or something out there in the society? No matter what it is an Indian don't have no age. He's just an Indian. He's not a kid. He's not an old man. He's not nothing. He's just an Indian. He don't have nothing coming. He don't deserve no respect for being an older guy. He don't deserve no respect for, he must have had at least $100 to stay there, you know? So, you know. What's going on with that, you think?
You know, Tanshi, you know, me and the old lady just talked about that as a matter of fact, today. You know, look at the Washitu. You know, I talked about this, I think, before, about this money that these Hasapas are asking for, compensation, for what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then these black people, they say, oh, you compensated the Native American, you know, for stealing their land and doing all these things to them. And, you know, they lump us up in one group. They don't see us in different. But yet, these Hasapas, they do the same thing as these Washitus do. when has the Washitu ever given us any kind of reparations for what they did to us? You know, that's something that really bothers me. You go to these talk shows, these black people on radio shows, TV shows, and they say that blatantly. Indians, they took care of the Indians. They did this, they did that. We should get this, you know, we're entitled, you know, all this. Where did that entitlement ever come from? See, we have lost more, even in Indian country's lifetime, we've lost more than any race of people. But yet, because of the government and the way the education system is, they think they have a right to look down on us because of what was, because of who they are and what they did for this country. We own this country, but yet they treat us like this, like Tanshi was talking about. Black lady sets him down. You know, I probably would have said a lot of things to that black lady if I was there, you know, and I would have put her in her place, because slaves like her that they brought over here have no right to be here to begin with. And like I was saying before, they ask for equal rights. Equal rights of what? And look at how she's treating Tanshi there. And yet they want equal rights? You know, what does that mean to these Hassapas? What does that mean to this black man? What does equal rights mean to this black race that was brought here? And then they say, oh, they forced us. You know what, like I say, a lot of these people that they brought here were sold by their own people to these white people. And yet, oh, slavery this, slavery. You know, I don't believe in slavery. I don't being owned by another person. I don't like that. That's something the white man, the evil white man brought here. But why should we pay for something that the Washitu did in our country, on our lands? We didn't do nothing. But yet they want to look down on us. And the white man and the government, U.S. government, doesn't do a damn thing to dispel that. And they let it continue. And like I was talking to my old lady this morning, there's a lithium deposit, a huge lithium deposit here in Nevada and California. You know, and now there's a company there. Nobody knows about this now. But they paid every one of those individuals $15,000 a piece to dig up that lithium. And they didn't tell them how much they're going to make. See, this is how they treat us. This is what they do to us. They don't let the public know. They don't let nobody know anything. These Indians are desperate for money. They don't have none. They've never had any. We've never had any kind of fair shake from the white man, or black man, Oriental man, like Tanshi said, even these Middle Easterners, because they got money. People treat them like they're something. But that's not the case. And yet, they discriminate. And I'm going to tell you something. This woman that he talks about, these Washitu women and these Washitu guys, they probably do it subtly to her. But see, she's been around it all her life. So she got used to it. They got brainwashed into believing that it ain't discrimination. But yet, if it's a Hassapa, man, that Hassapa will throw a fit, no matter how small it is. And I see that all the time. And like that girl said, oh, Tanshi said, women get treated different. It's true. But yet, you watch it. The discrimination that they face is the same discrimination that we face. Us men have it rougher than women. And This girl talking about, oh, she never faced discrimination. To me, she's nuts. Because, like I say, in South Dakota, up where these reservations are, they've been doing it so long that people get used to it. And they don't see that discrimination. They don't think it's discrimination. It is. Me, myself, I call people out when that happens. White people especially. Black people, too. Or even Mexicans. Even Middle Easterners. You know, like a lot of people call these diaper heads, you know, and shit like that. And they blatantly do it. When we're standing, they don't do it around them, but yet they do. I hear a lot of these conversations. I see the way these people act. And they do it blatantly to the Native American or to the Indian people of America, so-called stolen America. You know, these lands that are stolen, they do this to us. And yet, it's the norm, see? So people get used to it. But yet, you try that to a Hassapa, and man, they throw a fit, you know? And this girl, I'd like to watch her for a day amongst white people. You know, have her not even pay attention to me, but check her out for a day around these Washichus, and I'll tell you where she got discriminated against, and yet she accepts it, see? That's what's going on. And a lot of these people have been on it so long that they
Tashi, we look at people and okay, let me get back to this one thing. You know, you said okay, I was down away from the area when this house up a lady and stuff. I learned one thing too. You know, and I don't skip over this. The minute I turn back and start defending myself to these people, like I did when I was younger or whatever, it ain't because I'm scared of them. It's because I got wiser. Because you know what? Tashi, I ain't got time to be explaining to a cop what the hell went on in that place. Why, you know, because the minute I say one thing, they call the cops on me.
Yep.
They might not call the cops on you or somebody else, but I learned they call the cops on me every time. Every time I say something. So the smart thing I do is turn around and split without you know, giving them another chance. I split because I'm not going to be standing there explaining to cops the whole ordeal because automatically handcuffed me first. And if they let me go, it's way after 2 or 3 hours of bullshit or baloney, you know? So that's why, like you said, I would have set her straight. I could have did that too, but I don't know,
you know
the difference.
Well, see,
but I know one damn thing, Tashi. I know one thing. Every time I did this, they call the cops.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You see, and that's something that, and like another truth, like what you're saying. When that cop shows up, we are guilty, even though we didn't start anything. They started
it,
and when they show up, automatically, like Tashi said, they handcuff us. Then we're the criminal before anything else. See, and this is the truth. See, what Tashi's saying is the truth. He got used to it. He just, you know, he takes off whenever, you know, me myself, I don't like that, and I bring it to their attention, and a lot of these Hassapas, these other, you know, and like I say, even our own people try to justify what these Washichus are doing, this discrimination that these people are doing. I've gotten that back home. It wasn't done to me. It was done to another person. So I stood up and said something about it. But the Indian defended the Washichu against what he was saying. What I said, man, that's discrimination, man. I said, you know, but yet the Lakotas turned against me. And a lot of times when I go back home and see these people or something, right away they come over and you're going to start trouble. You're going to, you know, this and that. And they make all these excuses. When the cops show up, I tell them straight up, I don't give a shit. You know, if those people don't want me in their establishment, that's fine. I'll get the hell out of there, you know. But, you know, this is what's happened. These Indians, this girl, she's lying. I know she's lying. Because that's how they do it, Washitas. They make it seem like it ain't wrong what they're doing when they're discriminating. Sometimes they're blatant about it. And I know South Dakota. South Dakota, like I told people before, there's four studies done, four different studies. When Governor Jankelow was the governor of South Dakota, when Jankelow was the governor of South Dakota, he hired some people to see racism in South Dakota. 4 years later, they came back and told him that there's blatant discrimination in that state. He still wasn't happy. Government did it, and a private party did it. There's four different organizations that did that study. All came back with the same thing, which was South Dakota was the Mississippi, the new Mississippi of the Midwest. They said discrimination happens there, blatantly, but nobody says anything about it. So it's kind of the norm. And every one of those studies that was done, and this, every one of these studies was done 4 or 5 years at a time. And Jankelow still wasn't happy when it was done because he was trying to say South Dakota was not a racist state because population-wise. There's not that many white people here. That's what he was trying to say. But yet, all four of those studies came back the same way. So that girl that's saying this better really rethink her situation. There's a lot of highly educated girls back home that I know that will tell you that they were discriminated against, not only at the job, but everyday life. And that's the truth. So then whoever this girl is that's saying that they don't get discriminated against, she's a liar. And me, myself, I'll prove her wrong. If I go out there for a date.
Well, you know what?
Like Kershaw said, Native Americans, Indians in general, are discriminated against because of our looks, how we dress, how we look, how we carry ourselves. I mean, I don't give a shit where you go. There's always somebody, some different race, black, even Mexicans, try to look down on us. You know, and that's no bullshit. I don't know where these Mexicans, look at how they treat them. But yet, they feel they have a right to look down on us because we're Native. Who are they? You know, these Mexicans. That's the other thing. And sometimes I give them a friendly reminder that they ain't bold people, you know. And these bold people act like we invaded their country, like we stole something from them. No, it's the other way around. And yet they want to treat us like that. You know, like Kershaw, that preacher man, these guys on these radio, all these racist people that listen to what we talk about. And what Kershaw said about, we probably are the only religious people in this country. And it's true. I just brag. I'm not bragging or anything. We are the only tribe that fought and hid our stuff and kept it intact until the time was right. And as a matter of fact, in 1978, it was supposed to be done in 63. I told you guys that story about Grandpa Pusco in 63. But yet they waited till 78 because the Indians, American Indian movement, these Indians were on the move. So just to appease the Indian, that's what they did. They made it seem like they gave us something, and it was ours all along. And we knew it because we lived it. We were doing it. We might have hid it, but we were doing it. And we're the only people that still have that spirituality today. And Tanshi could tell that we know because of our beliefs. The minute we're born, we have one strike against us. White people, all these hospitals, all these institutions, they look at us as we're crazy because we believe in spirits. That's how they look at us. So every native that's born, that's one strike against us. We're crazy because we believe in spirits, and they don't. And that's a fact. You can look it up. We have one strike. We're born with one strike against us. We're damn near crazy the day we're born because of that. Because they don't believe in it. But we've always believed in it. We lived it. And yet, that's how they look at us. And so you talk about discrimination. You talk about all these things. They do it. In South Dakota, they blatantly do it to the native people. And like Hershey said, he went down south. And a black woman, her mother was probably nursing a white kid, or her grandmother was probably nursing a white kid at one of these plantations, forced to breastfeed that baby to protect the nanas, the sexual tilias of a white woman. And yet she feels that she has a right to discriminate against my country, you know. That's how they look at us.
Well,
Native people. You know, and it's the truth.
You know
what I'm saying.
Let me jump in here again because, like I said earlier, you know, we have some of our people, and you know what? I even have family members, you know, that are like this. Like this girl, that they say there's no discrimination, that it's just us. I have family members, you know, and I did mention this earlier. There's these people, Lakotas, that, you know, kind of look like, trying to look like the Beach Boys, or, you know, or you know, they're not normal. They go out of their way to look like them. Same way with this girl we're talking about. You know, I mentioned this girl. I know her. She's well, she's there telling me, hold on now. there you go. Okay. There's this fad going on. It's returning. Those 4-inch eyelashes, they're starting to come back. These women are starting to put these 4-inch eyelashes on their eyes. And this girl, what I'm talking about, she's standing there talking to me with these 4-inch eyelashes on, Lakota girl. And I know her. She does go off into, like, Heads of Sturgis and goes to Washichu events and, you know, and she will. She does a scheme on these white boys, you know? I mean, that's her nature. So there are them like her that do slip into the thing, but she hasn't faced it. I have a close family member, you know? And this guy is the same way. All he does is run around with Washichu because he was in the military with them and he got some rank and he come out. He don't run around with Indians. He runs around with them. And when he tries to catch a woman, you know, he's trying to catch one of these ones that look like a movie star or something. So that ain't happened yet, so he ain't never been married. But anyway, we have those like that. you know? And some of our people that got raised and born in the city, they're the same way. Like I have one relative, and I just found out he lives down in the city someplace. He's on Facebook. He always takes pictures wearing some nice slacks, silk shirt, rings, got his hairdo like Donald Trump, kind of hangs over the eye a little bit, you know, and short hair, but make sure it hangs down there. And he's always likes to stand holding a fancy glass of wine or a fancy glass of champagne. Even though we have an alcohol problem, he thinks he don't. And, you know, when his mother passed away, she's my aunt, she left his house. You know what this guy did? He sold the house, took the money, and now his sisters are homeless.
Jesus,
you see,
Christ.
But he runs around, his whole crew that he runs around with are Washichu. So he also made these same comments on Facebook, you know, that he don't see no racism, that we need to learn to get along, you know. And they're out there like that. There's these Indians that do that. But yet, the one person I mentioned earlier, you know, that's like this, he ran across racism and didn't even know it was racism.
Yep.
You know. And I told him, I said, that's racism. He said, no, it's not. I just wasn't good enough. I said, Hal, you were good. They just, you know, because he flunked an exam in college and stuff. Anyway, these guys like that. Racism can slap them in the face, and they don't see it. And they don't want to accept it. But yet there's a time coming for this girl we're talking about.
Yep.
Where my cousin that runs around with this fancy glass at especially on New Year's. On New Year's, you should watch his posts. He acts like he's a real socialite, you know, drinking. He had a picture of a fancy glass with a look like a rose hanging out of it, you know, and taking picture with some white guys, you know. And even him, one day it's going to hit him in the ass.
Yep.
This racism. And the thing about those guys, those people, when it hits them, they're too old to adapt to it. The thing with us, we already adapted to it. When we were kids, we grew up with this. So we're adapted to it. We recognize it. We see it. And there's times when, you know, it's like I was in the, once again, back on this, I was in a truck stop in the morning. There was no coffee in there. So they made coffee in this big thing. And they put it there. And first you have to let it drain down into the thing. Then you can fill up your cup. While it's draining down there, this peckerwood standing, oh, so they just barely started this? I said, yeah, I've got to wait for it to go down here. And then I had my cup. I was ready to slip it in there. Well, what did he do? He slipped his cup on top of my cup, turned it on. And filled up his cup till that thing quit running about halfway. And then I said, hey, man, now I got to wait for it to fill up. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
He said, what did you say? I said you were sorry, right? He said, yes. I said, no, you're not.
Yeah.
I raised my voice a little bit and looked at him. He kind of looked and walked away, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
But I told him, no, you're not, you know.
Yeah.
You see, they think we're pieces of shit that they can just do this and jump in front of us and everything. And the minute we stand our ground, we're in jail.
Yep.
Or we're something else. We're runned out, you know. Even the outside will look at us like trouble. Even if they see he started the problem, they're going to say, well, you know, I'm still the one at fault. So, you know, being out there, that's why I don't mind being on the res. And when I'm on the res, I look at all the stuff, and I know who's who. Who the Alkies are, who the Bible Thumpers are, who the Beach Boy tribal members are. I know who all them are. And I know there's only a few traditional people left.
Yep.
So those few people traditional that are around are the only ones I really deal with, you know. And, you know, we help each other out. I might help them fix a tire. They might give me some deer meat when deer season comes, and we trade back and forth, and we do things, you know. But there's only a few left, and one bro from another tribe was noticing, was asking, why is that? I said, because, you know, I said, the Lakota, we're a small race of people. We're a real small race of people, considering the 7 billion or 8 billion humans out there on Earth. There might be, if lucky, there might be a half a million. I mean, there might be only 500,000 Lakotas on this Earth. Out of those 500,000 Lakotas, half of them are Beach Boys. I'm going to start calling them Beach Boys. So half of them are Beach Boys. And then most of them Beach Boys, and then half of the quarter of the other are alcoholics. You know, so we got the Beach Boys, the alcoholics, then we got the Christians mixed in with that.
Yep.
And they're also alcoholics, but they try to hide it. So then we got the mixed bloods, the real like half breeds that are that jump ship whenever they want, you know. So there's out of 500,000 Lakotas, probably I could count on my hands. There's probably only 200 or 300 of us that are legit in trying to follow the traditional path. I mean, Tanshi, how many do you think there are of us that, I mean, I can name almost everyone I can think of that's Lakota that's walking this journey to preserve our culture. And there's only a few hundred of us. I tell you the truth.
You know, When you really look at it, Tanshi, when you look at even that part of it, like you were saying, think of all these people that go against the tradition, but yet they say they're traditional, have these sun dances, all these things, playing medicine, that, you know, that goes against us too, see. So then, there's not that many. There's not that many when you really look at it that still have this, that really understand who we are and what we are, and where we come from. A lot of these people don't want to study their history or understand where they come from. They want to be Washita. And if you look at it, Muzaska, money, plays a big role in that. And that's what I was just talking about earlier, this huge lithium deposit. It'll last for years, that, you know, and it's so huge, you know, that it'll be a few lifetimes before it disappears, that lithium that they got. And it's on reservations. They thought they put them on a wasted area, but yet now it's worth billions of dollars. And now there's a Washita company in there that paid $15,000 per person to that tribe to dig that lithium. Now he's gonna lay claim to all of that. And these Indians that he gave $15,000 to are gonna go by the wayside. This is something. These are, and how many of those people that accepted that $15,000 think like me and you, Tanshi? Where land,
you know
how much destruction? How much destruction are they gonna do to that land? Just like Miniwichoni, you know, the lady that wanted to be the head of that. A lot of people don't know that lady knew. She was one of the ones that accepted the money for that easement to come through. And in the very end, she started that big old ruckus for Miniwichoni. And Devar Shambu got a bad rap out of that whole deal, because he was the one that they had kicked those people out. And it wasn't him. It was about five administrations before him that did this. And that lady was one of the main ones that accepted the money. And where I got that information from was the lady that worked for the BIA, that she was an Indian lady, but she handed out the easements for these lands. That's where I found that out. And I said, what? And she said, yeah. She said, she knows what she did. She said, that was about, four or five administrations ago, she said. And she said, she knows what's going on, but she don't want to tell the truth. See, this is the thing, that Mozaska, that money, they think that they get it and it's free. Oh, that's, but they don't think about that Uchimu Koche, that Mother Earth, or that Miniwichoni, and the destruction that's going to do. See, me, myself, the Cobal has been after me to sell my land back home, And I told them to blow it up their behind, and I've never signed anything away. I don't believe in that. And I always tell my kids.
It's like this, Tashi. We carry Chanupa.
Yep.
And I don't care how broke we are, we'll never sell it.
Yep.
And the land is a big Chanupa, Uchimaka, we're not meant. There's some things we're not supposed to be selling and giving up for no amount of money. And we're supposed to look at our children, our Takojas, and everything else. There's some things that we just won't give up for me anyway. And the reason why, Tanshi, I just said there's only probably maybe 300, 400, maybe 500 of us left on this earth. And think about it. You can find out very easy how true that is by asking Tanshi, how many real medicine men do we have left? How many? Two or three?
Two. We're down to two. We had five about 5 years ago. We had five? Yeah. Now we're down to two.
So there's a whole bunch of fakes out there. There's some that, there's one that they're calling the chosen one. The Washichu and all the outsiders call him the chosen one, because he knows how to treat the outsiders good. So he turned out how to be a good hustler. Wow. But getting back to how many real medicine man we have, real medicine, the real thing. Two of them.
That's all we're down to.
Hold on now. Two of them left out of one time. There was 500 million of our people on this, on these this continent, you know, and we're down to two medicine men left. People can't measure the truth unless you show them reality. And right now, we're sharing this reality here right now that there's only two medicine men left. And there's two medicine and probably 20 fake ones that run around the rest. And then out of those, then there's probably a couple hundred more running around the world selling out.
Yep.
But you even add up the fake, the baloney, the chosen ones and all that, and we're still down to nothing compared to what's going on in the world. You know, even with all our fakes, we still don't have no numbers. We're almost damn near extinct.
That goes back to what I was talking about, this blood degree stuff that they talk about, see. And you know, think about what I talked about there, to how they want to do away with all Native Americans, see. And that's the water shortage in Navajo territory. Think about that. How much real Navajos are left? How much real Sioux are left, like you were saying? How long is it going to take to exterminate both of those tribes into being? We're the only group of people in the world that have a blood quantum, blood degree. We're the only people. Whites don't have it. Blacks don't have it. Mexicans don't have it. Orientals don't have it. We're the only people, and I tell people this, and they think that it's a lie. The day that three-quarters and full-blood Native American, so-called Native Americans, that's what the white people call us, when the three-quarters and full-bloods are all gone, then the white man's going to come and say, there is no more India. You guys are all American. You're Washituna. That's the plan they've had. And I tell people about this. And that's the truth. And I don't care how hard it is to believe. Go out there and look around. Tell me how many full bloods, three-quarter bloods there are out there. Okay, that's why it goes back to what I talked about before. I took my kids, got them enrolled. Some of them are 7/8, and some of them are 15/16. Why? Which one is easier to tear down? See? Which one is easier to tear down? Think about that. Why did some of my kids come out 7/8? Why were some of them 15/16?
You know, Tanashi, I have cousins. My mom has sisters that married other race. So my cousins ain't even qualified to be called Lakota. They won't even let them be enrolled, and they're my first cousins.
Yep.
Because the white man decides who is Indian and who's not. The Washington does. We don't. You know, because our people gave that authority away to them.
Yep.
The minute they raise that flag up at the tribal building every morning, they're giving the Washichu the power to say who our relatives are and who's not our relative. You know, they're the ones that say who's who. And they're the ones who can even maybe let somebody be a tribe. Like they let a tribe up in New York, Long Island, become a tribe. And what did they do the minute they became a tribe? They did it just to have a casino.
Yep, that's money.
And I went up there. I was over there, and I didn't see no Indians there. I seen another race of people.
Yep.
And they right away, they were sitting there in RVs and Cadillacs, and, you know, They were they had the attire and features
standing on it, the
native. They had the features of another culture that likes Cadillacs, you know, and shiny clothes and all that. That's what they did. But they became a tribe because enough of them got together, and a couple of them pulled up some relatives some kind of way. Anyway, they became a tribe. The government, I heard the government didn't let them, but the state of New York did, and they're working on the government. But you see, the point is, we Native people in this country, Navajos, Apaches, Chippewas, all the tribes in this country, including the ones Aztecas and all the rest, you know, we're the ones that are supposed to be knowing who is who. Because how do we get along? We get along because we know relatives. You know, when I meet other tribes, you know, I usually meet their cousins, their brothers, their mothers, their aunts, and they tell me, and that's how we know who they are, you know. Yeah. Just like all the ones that come from Oklahoma, the Sundance with us, all of them are families. You know, they're families. They're families that show up and hang out with us. And we're the ones that they know who's in their tribe. We know who's in our tribe. And all the other tribes, we know who's who. We don't need no Washichu saying, oh, he's not Lakota because he don't have enough blood, you know? They're the ones saying that.
Exactly. But
I got a cousin that's born out of my own aunt, my mother's sister, and he's not allowed to be called Lakota because they said that. Or they do that.
That's crazy,
You know? And I got grandchildren. My great-grandchildren, as far as they're concerned, they're nobodies. They won't even let them be enrolled or nothing, you know? And the other thing is we have a lot of relatives that were born off the res, outside away. And as life proceeded for them, they just never came and got enrolled. They're as much Lakota as me or you, but they lived out there all their life and never came over and got enrolled. Well, I don't care if they're enrolled or not. They're still my relative. I don't care if they got a tribal ID or not. They're still my relative. And you know what, Toshi? The other thing I do is if somebody comes up and tells me, and they're brown skin as hell and everything, they tell me they're indigenous, native, or from, I don't call them a liar. I don't say, hey, where's your tribal card? Let me see it. I automatically believe them, you know, because I can look at them and tell they're not lying, you know.
If it's
one of those, but yet we do have, and I hate to keep saying this, you know, because I don't want to offend nobody, but, you know, we do have people claiming to be Cherokee that, you know, and some other tribes, you know. But the reason why I say Cherokee is because that's a common, look at Cher and these celebrities and all them. They all want to claim that because it's for some reason, it's the easiest tribe to get away with claiming without nobody slapping you in the face over it. You know, like there's a guy named Rick Medlock from Leonard Skinner. Now he started claiming his Lakota. Well, I asked him, well, who? Well, because he's a famous musician. He just like spit in my face and walked away. He don't need to prove it. But you know how we are. Tell us who your family is, and we'll know if you're telling the truth. You know?
Yep.
But you know, I even told his friends in that circle, that guy's a liar. He might be Indian some kind of way, but he's not Lakota. He's just saying Lakotas because it sounds better to make it validates his show when he jumps up on the stage with a choker on, you know. You know, and having a group called, you know. I mean, he's a good musician. I'll be proud of him just for being Native. But I don't like it when people claim tribes when they're not members of that, when they're not, they're doing it because, you know, they can go out there and say, oh, you know what, I'm Indian, so let me claim a tribe. Oh, I'm going to pick Lakota. Yep. Or I'm going to pick Cherokee. Or let me pick Apache because they're a warrior, you know. So they can go out and just pick whatever tribe they want. But yet they don't have no proof. And you know what? If you're going to claim Lakota, you're coming into my area, Tanashi's area. We know who our families are. You know, we know. You know, I don't care. We can reach back a few hundred years easy of knowing who's who and know if somebody's driving around.
You know, Tunchy, that goes back to that, what the hell's the name, that rock, the guy that got slapped on stage. Remember, he was claiming he was Native American. He was Cherokee, all this other stuff. They did a, what did they call that, a DNA test on him? And he found out that he had more Washita blood in him than he even had blood, black. See? And there was no Native American blood in his system at all.
And that guy got guys on TV and was making fun of Indians out there going, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, he makes fun of Indians, just like we were talking at the beginning of the show, how they make fun of us. They think we're a big joke. They think we're all drunks, alcoholics, and that they're better than us, you know? He's one of them guys, you know?
And
that's
and
why
I didn't care
if that guy slapped him in the face, you know?
And like I say, look at, he found out he was more Washita. He had more Washita blood in his system. And he was, I don't know, they followed it back to one of these Jackson or one of these plantation owners. But so he knows who he... He's Washita. See, he's more Washita than he is Hassapa. See, and
how about that racist in North Dakota? That had a racist community in North Dakota, was flying swastika flags and blah blah blah, all this and here. He got so famous, he became the most famous racist that they put him on TV. So he liked that. He came on TV showing off. So since he was on TV, they run the DNA on him.
Yeah.
And there he had more black in him than he had white. You know?
You know, see, and that's what I'm getting at, Tunchy. You know, like, a lot of these people, like right now, the way it sets, like I'm telling you, when all the three-quarters and full-blood people are gone, they're going to declare everybody American. All American. That's going to be a race of people. There's not going to be this Lakota, you know, like we know who we are. That's what their goal is, see. The Washita's had that plan for years and years, and that's why I always tell people, they made these treaties with the Lakotas, and then they take it to Chicago before they take it to Washington in front of Congress and all these people, so, you know, to get ratified and whatever the hell else they do over there. They changed it. They took the women out of there. You know, when our grandmothers had the biggest input. These men had to go home and talk to their wives. because they had plural wives back then. There was plural marriages. So they had to go home and talk to their wives, then come back the next day. That's why it took 73 days to make that, the 68 treaty. But still, they took the women out of it when they took it to Chicago. And the Tukashilas came and told us that, Hanshi. So that's not a lie, see. They came into a ceremony and they told us exactly what happened right after they made that treaty. They were standing there watching them. And they took it to Chicago, took out the women, put this three-quarters to four-fourths was of the population of Lakota people were supposed to agree if they were going to give some parts of land or whatever, any kind of dealings with the Washichu. It was supposed to, that's the way it was set up. Three-quarters of all of the Lakotas at one time had a say-so in the dealings with the Washichu. But yet they changed that to blood degree. Because even back then, they were scheming to get rid of us. So that's how that they kind of made it a male-dominant thing. See? And it's still like that today. White people were, see, back in the day, women were, white Washichu women were only looked at as property. We never looked at our women as property. They did. See? And when did that get changed? How long ago was that when women could vote?
1920. 1920, yeah. They finally accepted their women as women, as humans.
Yeah. And we weren't like that.
That's how barbaric the Washichu is. You know, their women were nobody until 1920.
Yeah.
Only 100 years ago. You know, 100 years ago, yeah. They allowed their women to become humans. And yet, they got nerve to talk about us, you know. They didn't even, you know, they even though they were born from a woman, they still treated women like they were, you know, like you said, property or something, you know. And you know, when there's a race of people like that, like only 500 years ago, these same people still thought the earth was flat. And there are people being called a world power right now, you know? They're being called a world power, and 500 years ago they thought the earth was flat. 100 years ago they didn't even accept women as humans.
Yep.
You know?
You know, just think about this, Tanshi. Back in the day when these Washichus first showed up until, you know, these so-called whorehouses that they had, they weren't called whores, these women. They were called a poke, you know. I want a poke, you know. It was just, you know, that's what they considered their women. They were a poke. In other words, they go over there and all they were good for was sex. That's all the Washichu looked at women, see. So then, just think of how barbaric that is, see. They didn't look at them as whores, or they didn't even look at them as women. They looked at them as a poke, you know. How fucking evil is that? Excuse the language.
When they showed up on the Mayflower, they didn't show up with wives.
Yep.
They showed up with women for breeding. In other words, nobody came on the Mayflower and brought their wife with them.
Nope. They stole women from other countries for sexual pleasure. That's all it was, just sex. See? And you think about today, look at how society is. The sex, anything, look at all these, we talked about this, these wink tests that are happening now. They call themselves two-spirits. That's a lie. See? There's a lot of these guys that ain't like that. But it's a sexual preference now, see? That's what it is. So, you know, there's a big difference. And that's why I say today, The Washita sexualizes everything. Look at what they did to breastfeeding. You know, they sexualized tits. Yet, you know, there's a cow over there feeding its calf and it's feeding its nanas, using its nanas. But yeah, why can't a woman breastfeed? Because it's sexual.
Yeah.
You know, see, and that's not what we were never raised like that. Because we talked about this. You know,
yeah.
We were playing.
A woman nursing,
and we got hungry.
A woman nursing, you know, a baby was normal. You know, we didn't
yeah,
even think nothing
yeah.
of it. It was part
no,
of life.
It
was part of
yeah,
humanity.
They,
you know.
Yeah, our aunts and stuff sat around with their nanas up, and we all knew which one we could latch onto. We didn't care. Our mother was busy cooking. We'd latch onto our grandma if she had a baby. See, that's how we were raised. We never looked at nanas as sexual. We latched on to whatever woman was taking care of the kids. See, that's how we grew up. And this Washita is the perversion that they have. See, like now, this Winkta stuff going on. There's even politicians now, old ladies doing this, you know. And, oh, man, it's just gotten out of hand. See, that's how the Washita think. That's, you know, it goes back to Leonard Krodog. When he had a ceremony because they wanted to know if it was okay to have same-sex marriages in Pine Ridge. Well, Leonard tied up for that. And afterwards, they asked him. And so he kind of broke it down and told them that, nowadays they crawl up the wrong buttholes and they, you know, it's confused. He said they're sexualizing. He said that's all it is. He said the real ones are gone, is what he said. He said there's very few real ones. And he said even them, he said they don't come out because of what's going on. He said, and he said that it was ruined. Even that part of it was ruined. See, and then people talk about this two-spirit. It's okay to be, you know, you see it even amongst our own people now, Tashi. You know, and I don't know, Tashi. It's just, like I say, the Washita is so damn evil, you know.
You know.
And like Tashi said, in Russia, they didn't want any of that stuff, so that's why they don't like Americans. And yet you got Zelensky pushing it over there in Russia. You know?
Yeah. You know,
but
that Zelensky just bought a $5 million home for his mother-in-law in Egypt. That's how rich he is. And he runs around begging for money all the time. You know, getting back to breasts, you know, like we were talking about, the breasts was made for babies, you know, for babies, for women to feed babies. That's what those breasts are for. You know, they're not there for looks. They're not there for that. But the Washita, they get breast implants. They inject them. They made the breasts something different, you know. And they're even putting breasts in gay dudes.
Yep.
Now, how can you get milk out of that? You know, you see, breasts are there for to feed babies.
Yep. That's my point, Thurston.
Yeah, they switched it around where it doesn't matter. It's something different, like you call it sexual. It's a sexual thing, you know? And our logic compared to their logic, of women, you know, are in men. The Washita's always talking about size. Size of this, size of that, you know, and size matters with them. You know, I'm not bragging or what. You know, I had a lot of girlfriends, you know, men, you know, and never once, and I might be getting a little personal here, have I chose somebody for size. Because they had a good size this or a good size that, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never did. It was all, it was always about heart, personality, character,
person.
Or whatever at the time. You know, it was never something about, oh, damn, man, look at the blood on that, you know.
You know?
It was never none of that. It was always just fell in place over personality or whatever. And that's been all my life, you know. But yet, the Wasichu, even the women, and, of course, I hear the Hassapa the same, too. And they say it in their rap songs. They say it on TV. They say it, you know. Everything's about butt and titties. Excuse me for saying that. But that's what it is. Poor women are not acknowledged for intelligence, for morals, spirituality, or nothing. Their women are acknowledged for their behinds in their busts. And all that makeup they throw on their face, those 4-inch eyelashes, you know, are their big
dang.
Red hair, our blonde, dying blonde, our blue hair. That's their world. But our Indian women, when I was raised up, I never seen none of my aunts or none of them dyeing their hair blonde or something. You know,
I never
seen them slapping on mile-long eyelashes. I never seen them flashing legs or trying to show their behind, you know? They always had longer dresses or whatever and had what's that word we call it? Anyway, our women always had more class.
Modesty.
But nowadays, modesty, that's the big word I was looking for. You know, they nowadays our people lost it. You know? I mean,
that's how evil the Wasichu is. That's how evil the Wasichu is. See, they're sexualized. He sexed out. And they know that. And that's why I go back, like what Tanshi was saying. You know, there's a guy, they put nanas on him. He might have a cute face or something. So they build him up. But yet, he's still a wichasha. He's still a man. He would take a woman, try to do that to a guy that wants to be a man. Can't do that. But yet, they do that to these guys. They make him look like weans, see? And they'll play ooh and ah over that. Just as long as they don't know that person's a male before that, see. And this, it goes back to Maybelline. When all this eye shadows and stuff on the East Coast, these Indians, because of the snow, and they change their look when they put that stuff on their eye in the wintertime. That's why in March, our people call it Ishtawi Chayazami, the month where your eyes hurt. And they had a thing for that, where they blackened, they shaded their eyes. Well, Maybelline learned that from the East Coast and put it out there, used it, they kind of sexualized it and eyeshadow, and they cornered it. Now nobody could do that except them, all this other stuff, see. And that's, anything that kind of has to do with sex, anything, the Wasichu capitalizes on that. Just like Maybelline, big old business now.
You know, we only have so much time left, but I wanted to respond to somebody. Getting back to that Ukrainian president, the American government just went over there and gave $300 billion to Ukraine.
Dang.
Or maybe $3 billion, not 300. but $3 billion. And then in the meantime, the American is investigating whether Iran or China is arming Russia. Or no, North Korea. If North Korea arms helps Russia, then they're breaking a law about helping them arm. But look at, they're over here arming the hell out of another country.
Yep.
To help.
Yeah.
You know? And so
yep.
So $3 billion, you know? You know? When
yep.
The reason why I say this is because, like I said, I went on a little journey. And what did
yeah.
I see on my little journey? You know, when you go on journeys, you notice stuff. So on
yeah.
my little journey, once again, I seen at the truck stops, pale faces sitting at truck stops begging for money, saying,
yep.
combat veteran, 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 help me out. Amen.
Yep.
And using Christianity. You know,
yep.
why don't these people, are their brains so small to realize that their people don't give a crap about them? They don't care. That's why you would think if they're such a big Army veteran combat, why are they sitting there homeless like that? How come the
yep.
government don't take care of their own kind? But yet, they're loyal to this government who's making them sit on the corner begging in front of other races of people. You know?
Yep.
They're there letting their own kind, these Americans, let the Americans sit there and beg for money
yep.
in front
and
of other races
and giving-
of people.
Yeah, and then they're giving $3 billion. You know how much $3 billion, you know how much that would help these veterans? Houses, whatever
yeah.
else. Instead of a war machine, see? And that's
they
the
go
key.
Start wars. They go start wars all over the world. And
yep.
then they drag people in to go fight these wars. And when they're done fighting these wars, they throw these same people under the bus.
Yep, yep. That's
you know,
that's
and then
exactly
these,
what
all
that's,
these all these millions
man.
Of people thrown under the bus are still over there voting for Trump, and still that's
yep.
how the lack of brain development they have.
And yep.
You know what? If you go help somebody. And they throw you on the bus after you help them. Are you gonna still be loyal to them? Hell no.
Yeah.
It's time to jump the fence. You know, I mean, which fence are you gonna jump on? You should come to our side because we've been telling you the truth for a long time.
Yeah.
That American
yeah.
government don't care about you people. They don't care about your house. They don't care about nothing. They don't care if you have a home. They'll take your home from you real quick.
Yep.
They're doing that, too, throwing people out, taking away their homes from them, making farmers
yep.
go bankrupt. But yet you
Every
don't
day.
Have enough brain development to see that, and you're still over there on the battle putting us down, treating us like we're little kids, treating us like we're savages, treating us, and we're the only ones that care about the earth, the water you drink. We care about the
yep.
food you eat. We care about all this stuff. And you're over there joining in with them after they throwed you under the bus.
You know,
you know,
kill happy is America. And yet, like you were saying, they let those guys out. They're disposable, you know. And that's what that's how they look at these humans. These Washichus look at humans as disposable, their own kind. They don't give a shit about them. And like Toshi said, they're sending all this money to a war. But yet, look at the needs here of these veterans. The people they used You know, my dad was a World War II veteran, and that's something he said. He said, you know, he said, they had us fight the Japanese, they had us fight the Germans. He said, but yet, he said, we're here now. He said, we did went over there and kicked their ass because we didn't want them over here doing that to us. And he said, now they're bringing all those people over here, and he said, they're giving them all kinds of money to take care of themselves. He said, they're giving them all kinds of money. He said, what about us? He said, they took us and put us in that country to fight their war. He said, they forgot about us.
But here's where I just picked up on something. You said, so they don't come over here and treat us like that. Well, so we're only allowing the Washitu, the American, they're the only one that we allow to beat us around, huh? Is that what it is?
We ain't supposed
to be letting nobody beating us around, especially these Americans, because they're squatting here on this land, you know?
He said they were supposed to treat us better. They were, because of what we did, we helped them. He said, but yet, he said, look at how they're treating us, you know? And I said, they've been doing this, you know?
I never once thought helping them was benefiting us. I never once thought that.
You know,
I always know.
See, it goes back to, remember, whenever they put these Indians on the reservation, they herded them. They drove them into a reservation. What was the first thing that what was the jobs these leaders or these chiefs and stuff, what was the jobs they give them? Scout. Indian scout. Well, they're Indian scouts now. They work for the U.S. government. People like my grandfather, Longwood, who rode with Crazy Horse, who stayed with Crazy Horse, he died a prisoner of war. He died a POW because he did not want to join that. People like those guys seen where they were gonna, what they were doing to us. That's why they never joined them. But yet they were the savages. They were the wild ones. It bothers the shit out of me at times when I think about that, because my grandfather died a prisoner of war. He was never given a pardon, nothing. And yet all these guys, these scouts, so-called scouts, that they work for the government, so they were Indian scouts. And look at what's happening today. All these guys going to the war machine, coming back, you know, and then yet they're sitting in front of these truck stops begging for money.
You see, this is what gets me. They think it's like when Hawaii got burnt down, and they always tell us this. Oh, well, if we didn't come, then the Russians and the Chinese would have came.
Yeah.
What? So you're saying you're better than China or Russia? It don't matter which one of you's here. You're all still squatters. You know? The point is, we're not supposed to accept anybody, including them. We're not supposed to sit there and say, oh, well, I'm glad the Americans are here. Otherwise, we'd be talking Russian. Or otherwise, we'd be talking Chinese. But they want us to think like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to talk no other language but our language. And I don't want to see nobody here but our people. I only want to see brown skin and spiritual people living on Unchi Maka, you know. I only want to see that. I only want to see our people. I don't want to see them. You know, that guy sitting on the corner, the white guy begging for the money, he only had one leg.
Damn.
I don't know what happened to the other leg, but, you know, for some reason, you know, he said, help me. Please help me. I'm a veteran. Help me. He had, you know.
Yeah.
He's sitting there with I don't know if he's a pro at it, but he had about four slices of bread inside of a bread bag tied in a knot to show that that's all he's got is four slices of bread on earth.
You know,
the guy was good,
Yeah, another thing is these watch teachers like that. Some of them learned how to play that game, Kanshi. You know, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, and so some of them you got to be real careful of because, you know, here in Frisco, they caught a couple of people that were filthy rich, but yet they were doing that. And
well,
as a matter of
you
fact,
know, they make money doing it. I seen them at the rest areas stopping and acting like they're out of gas. And then you see them the next week later on the other side of the interstate doing the same thing. You know,
I
see how they are, you know, and it's just them doing that. You know, I don't hardly see our people doing that, but I notice our people are trying to go ahead and get in. You know, our people learn from them. We learn all the bad things from them. We learned how to kill from them. We learned everything they do. We learned, you know, all the stuff. We learned how to use drugs. We learned how to drink. We learned how to do everything from them. Very rarely did we learn anything good from them. Very rarely did we learn anything good from them. I can't think of one good thing that I learned from them.
I can't either, Toshi. That's the problem. I can't think of one good thing they brought and taught us, you know, not one. All the things that they've ever brought was evil, and it's still evil to this day, you know. And like Toshi was saying, you know, there was a guy that I was at one of these quick stops over here, and there was a Habib. He had a woman, and he had this old lady and a couple of kids in this fancy-ass goddamn, this Lexus, one of them SUVs, Lexus, high-end car.
Yeah.
He pulls in and he said that he was going to Los Angeles to meet his people, and he ran out of gas money. And he was wondering if I could give him $20. Then he pulls out a chain, you know, and then he says, this is worth oodles amounts of money, but if you give me $40, I'll let you have this. You know, I mean, a hustle. And you're talking about a guy that was in a Lexus, and the kids were all dolled up. I mean, you know, how in the heck does he need money? You know, and why is he driving a Lexus? You know, a fancy, fancy Lexus, man. And yet he was begging for money. You know, and this happened.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, they pull in a Costco, and I told the old lady one time, I said, that guy's a hustler, man. I said, you see him down at these quick stops and stuff? And I said, no, he's here at Costco, and he's hitting on all kinds of people up there. He sends his grandma out or whatever she is and his woman out to do the same thing, you know. And it's a hustle. They're gypsies. You know, that's shagalasha.
You know, we're running out of time here, so I really, you know, I appreciate everybody, you know, and I think that, so Philip or Wayne or Layla, you guys are have your red button on. I mean, I switched the thing on you guys, but, you know, like a lot of things we talk about, you know, It bothers me because I see how we're treated from the outside world. But yet the outside world is getting thrown under the bus by the people who they are loyal to. They're getting thrown under the bus. And then they got nerve to holler at me or holler at our people and call us savages, drunks, and all that, you know. But out there in that world, and I'm saying out there in that world because I sit here in my world, that world, sometimes I go out there and check it out, and I see them, one leg, you know, people, Washichu, just like the ones sitting in the White House, just like Trump, just like them, the same kind of people, but they don't, they throw their own kind under the bus. You know, like like Tanashi said, there's no reason. I mean, I'm not rooting for them. I could sound like I'm rooting for them. There's no reason for those veterans to be sitting there, because as big a killers as they were, as many children as they killed, as many people and countries they are involved in bombing, they should all be living in a damn mansion. They should all be rewarded highly for helping Trump be a millionaire and have his own jet, for helping Biden and for helping the whole, every rich, wealthy person out there, including including what's her name, including those rich what's her name, that rich black woman? Oprah. You know, including her, including all of them. You know, what gets me is the wealthy are protected by those ones sitting at the corner begging without a leg and stuff. You know, and I say, damn, man, you know, I mean, I say, damn, man, look at that
wrong
guy. That guy's missing a leg for defending Trump and all of them people. You know? And he's got to beg at the corner, and he's got to sit there in shame in front of me. I'm driving by in a car, eating a sandwich, and this guy don't have nothing.
Yep.
You know? I'm not saying I'm doing good. Tell you what, I ain't gonna be sitting at no corner begging after I did everything. Most people owe that guy.
Yep.
But they throw their own kind under the bus, you know.
Yeah, they don't
care
as long as they're
the money. Trump just throwed everybody under the bus that they got indicted for the RICO Act. All those guys are sitting in there wondering whether they should rat on him or not. They're saying, should I give him up? You know, damn, man. I think, you know, even Rudy Giuliani, you know. You know, look at him. Look at all them guys, you know, sitting there,
you know, was,
defending a guy
Trump,
who threw them under the bus.
You know, Trump would throw them under.
You know, Trump stood there and made a big speech in Washington and said, we need to go down to the Capitol building right now. Let's go. I'll be there with you. In the first right turn, he took it, and he left them.
Yep.
He let them go without him, you know. And they still supporting him, you know.
Yep.
They still supporting them. What kind of brain development is that where you get thrown under the bus but you still support the person who support you, you know? Once somebody stabs me in the back, I'm done with them, you know. It's all over, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we can't even handle it if our woman runs out with another man, let alone, you know. Or a man runs out of a woman, we give up on how we'll never trust them again, you know. But you see, look at them people. They're out there getting thrown under the bus, getting their legs, giving up legs and arms for them, and still loyal to that raggedy flag and that raggedy people. I mean, they should jump the fence and come over and stand on our side. You know, when I was in prison, those white guys and Jews and everybody were smarter. They said, let's go support these Indians because these Indians are going to make it better for us all. So they supported us. We got buffalo meat, so now they can have lamb, you know?
Yep.
Because they were wise enough to support us and help us get what we were righteously entitled to with indigenous spirituality and traditional way. When they jump behind us, they were all able. Then they had JCs, NAACP. They had, you know, they got all help because they were smart enough. How come that outside world can't think like that? They rather than get behind us, they still spitting on us and getting thrown under the bus by their own kind. Anyway,
that goes back.
It's time to go. Yeah,
oh.
Go ahead, Toshi.
Oh, it's a prayer and we're closing
any,
up.
Wait, no, wait, hold on. I just said, I thought you were going to say one thing, but I asked Philip, Wayne, and them if they got anything to say. Jump on
go
it
ahead,
right
let
now.
Them speak. Let them speak.
I have something to say. The truth
out there.
Is beautiful.
What's up?
It is so beautiful to hear someone speak the truth.
Heck yeah. You know we'll speak the truth, us guys.
Yep. Like we always say, speak to me, you toothless wonder. Go ahead, Wayne. Wayne, you got anything to say? Any comment? Or is he snoring
yeah,
again?
Yeah, good show, man.
How about you?
Good show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
or Philip?
Philip, snoozing too.
Yeah.
Philip is snoozing too. Yeah.
Anyway, it's getting late, and you know, but I'm glad you showed up, Tanshi, and, you know. I'm glad that people listening, even Joseph Gibson there and my bro John Davis and Walking Bear and all them who showed up, thank them. And the ones who are just out there listening, tuned in, thank you for your support. And just remember, you know, look with your own eyes and see the truth.
Yep.
It's out there for you to see. And don't blame us. And don't be spitting on us. You know, don't be breathing your bad breath on us either. You know.
The truth. Look for the truth. It's there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's out there. And find out who's for real. You guys are getting thrown under the bus, and you still don't see it. Go ahead, Tanshi. Why not? We'll check you.
I will say a prayer and we'll close it up.
I wanted to say something, you know, because the thing about, you know, doing this radio show or whatever you want to call it, podcast or whatever, you know, we, you know, never once have we purposely attempted to be racist on no race. But when we say those Washitu, let me tell you this. That's like calling Donald Duck human. When you call the American a race, they're not a race. That's Donald Duck. Because in 1776, they created that thing called America, and they started calling each other American. But that's not a race of people. They're not a race of people. the country, America, is not a legitimate country. It's not like China, Russia, India, or any other country, France, England. It's not. It's made up. So when we talk about it, we're not, that ain't being racist, because we're not talking about no race of people. We're talking about Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse, who were made up by cartoon, you know, cartoonists. Those people, Ben Franklin, George Washington, and all them, were just a bunch of cartoonists, and they made something up. And all of you are out there following that, thinking, being proud of something that ain't even right. So think about that. With that, you know, Soksha.
You know, your son should die at all.
mama, 35 more miles of you. 35 more miles.
Csak helyen vetsük, én a tapsapeltől most így jusként a kevon kicsik a kaptam.